Like the line in the famous Joni Mitchell song, my next guest has seen life from both sides now, or at least federal acquisition. Stan Soloway is former Pentagon procurement chief, and he recently stepped down after 15 years as CEO of the Professional Services Council, a trade group representing hundreds of defense contractors. He joins me now as the Defense Department and everyone connected to it is wondering what happens next. Stan, good to have you back in your new role.
Great to be here. I can't believe you used a Joni Mitchell term to describe me. I got a lot of grief from my staff for using the Buffalo Springfield to describing the market. So
well, I guess that dates both of us
there you go,
in
exactly.
some way. And so you were 15 years
yeah.
taking the supplier point of view and really, I think, being fairly even-handed about it. But now that we go into 2017, there's not even hearings on the budget and there's sort of a semi-sequestration. What does it look like to you?
I think this is a really pivotal time for the market. It's one of the reasons that I decided to change careers and do something different and staying in the market, working individually with companies. You know, we were told last year that we had a two-year budget deal, and in fact, it really wasn't 2 years. It's really about a 6 or 8 month deal because you get through that 6 or 8 months and you're already into discussing what's going to happen for the next fiscal year. And as you said, there's not even going to be budget hearings. The president has submitted a budget which will not pass. The Republicans will take a different view, and we'll go through a lot of the sort of chaos and madness as they determine sort of the allocations account by account over the next several months. So, yes, we have a top-line budget, but they haven't, you know, agreed on yet where the money is going to go. So a lot of that uncertainty is back. It's not as bad as it's been, but it goes without saying, you know, we have an election going on, and that's really going to be telling from the legislative perspective. At the same time, when I say it's pivotal, there's a lot going on in government. There's more experimentation and innovation than I think I've seen in a long time. There's more openness to new ideas. I see existing contractors, new players, others coming up with new ideas and so forth. So you have the market and the sort of the customer side moving forward, albeit slowly, and the policy and budget side still stuck in the mud.
And if you look at the Defense Department's requirements, there seems to be a growing shift, if you will, toward more innovative technologies, the whole strategic offset that they are seeking, robotics and so forth, and big data. And so that, I would think, would affect the mix and type of suppliers that it will be seeking in the coming years.
Yeah, I think that that does change things. You know, when you get into the large systems and the large, particularly in the weapons arena, a lot of the same companies that are involved now will be involved in the future because a lot of them are doing a lot of the research in those areas. But you're right, it does bring also a wide array of new capabilities, at least to the table. And the question is the market going to be friendly to those folks and enable them to come in? There are a lot of barriers and requirements and compliance costs and so forth that are still prohibiting or inhibiting folks from coming into the market. But I think one of the, you know, you can look on that side of the equation and look at the Pentagon's look for, as they call them, drone swarms as one of their big initiatives, where the Army is talking about wanting to rebuild its manpower somewhat, and the Navy wants more ships. I'm not making a judgment there. I'm just saying you could see that there's a clear difference of view and sort of direction taking place. But beyond the major systems, sort of the weapons side, the whole operational side of government is really where you're seeing most of the impact and change. You know, you and I have talked about this before. We've only touched the tip of the cloud. And once that actually starts to take hold, and it's been very slow, much slower than a lot of people think it should have been, once that really starts to take hold, there could be much more seminal changes taking place in the fundamental operations of government.
Let's talk about some of the changes in acquisition, because it seems like they have two challenges there. This is both civilian side and defense side. One is to do the traditional ways much better, and the other is to try the new agile approaches to bring some of these non-traditional players into the federal market. So what's your sense of how well they're going about those two acquisition challenges?
Well, I think they're actually not separate. I think, you know, the idea that clearly the government is looking for some new players, as you call them, non-traditional providers. And anytime I think you have a marketplace, and we said this when I was at PSC, you have a marketplace that's open and competitive, you will constantly have new players coming into it, and that's healthy. But that doesn't mean that the existing players are not doing agile or are not able to do highly innovative things. And so I think it all goes, it's all part of the same whole. We saw some, I think, important steps forward on the defense side in the authorization bill last year. But there's still some schizophrenia around the marketplace around how to access and capitalize on commercial items and services, whether they be from traditional or non-traditional sources. How much risk is tolerable? and how to reduce some of the really out-of-control compliance requirements that add no value to the taxpayer or to the agency, but serve as huge inhibitors to the marketplace. So when we talk Agile, that's certainly a strategy that makes sense in a lot of areas, and there are folks who are doing it both in and outside of the market. But there's a lot of other pieces that are also part of the same puzzle.
We're speaking with Stan Soloway, founder of Celero and former president of the Professional Services Council. And let's talk about the White House for a minute. There have been a series of executive orders and rules have coming facing contractors over the past several years. Some of them haven't been particularly productive, I would say, from your standpoint, from the PSC standpoint. Does some of this need to be dismantled so that people can get back to the real buying and selling of what the government needs?
I think that, there's probably of the 14 executive orders that have been out there over the last several years, maybe one or two need to be significantly modified. Most of them have not had a lot of impact other than adding some costs and perhaps worth looking at that, whether that cost is worthwhile. But when it comes to executive orders, the one that everybody's focused on clearly is the Fair Pay and Safe Workplace executive order, the final rules of which for which are not yet out. That's the granddaddy, and that's the one that is going to spark both a legislative and a legal fight because it's over the top. And I went through the almost exact same issue when I was in the Clinton administration on the other side of the table with something called the blacklisting rule. When I was at the Defense Department, fought hard against it internally because it was unexecutable and struck us as really going well beyond due process. But so it's this newest one or the latest one that we're waiting to see the final rules on that'll, I think, spark the greatest outcry. I am told, and I've been trying to track this down, but apparently there is some statutory limitation also in terms of when the administration can issue additional executive orders. In other words, there's apparently some sort of deadline in May, 6 months before the end of the session of Congress or something, after which they cannot issue any more executive orders. So I don't know if that's true, but I was told that by an administration official yesterday, which surprised me. So we may see a spate of little ones coming out, not just on government contracting, over the next couple of months to beat that deadline.
All right, so looking ahead longer term then, beyond all of that, if you look at the system as it operates now, the system that ties government and contractors together in the United States, do you still feel that it's a stronger system than they have elsewhere in the world?
From what I can see, it is. Now, there are very few countries that have as mature acquisition and system as we do, that has the full spate of checks and balances, but also open competitive space. And I've been in probably a dozen or so, maybe more countries on these issues over the years. There are some areas in which other countries are doing a little bit more than we are. So if you think about things like 18F and the Digital Services Corps that the administration started here, that actually grew out of an idea that was birthed in the United Kingdom, where they started out earlier with that. But I think that, yes, we still have the strongest procurement and acquisition system. But we have still faced this incredible need to, I don't think, upend the system. I don't think we have to radically blow up the system. I think we need to radically blow up and rethink how we develop the workforce that supports it and how we empower them. Because the new world that they're expected to operate in is nothing like the world that we all grew up in. And we're just not training them to that. But I think the system itself and the fundamental tenets are quite strong.
So how can it come about that people are better trained? I guess I would look at it as the FAR might be the musical score. What we need is people to play it better to get the results they want.
Right, and as it's true in music, it's all about the kinds of instructions, the kind of creative freedom you get within the certain rules of music or certain rules of the score that you're trying to play. No one's suggesting that the acquisition workforce or the IT workforce, others ought to be able to play fast and loose with the rules. We've got to give them the tools to operate in a very, very different environment. And thus far, I think that has been the biggest gap and the greatest failure of the last 20 years since we really started down the path of trying to reform the system.
Stan Soloway is founder of the newly minted Celero and former president of the Professional Services Council. As always, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure, Tom. Good to talk to you.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.